Hello, and welcome to another edition of Feral Foreign Radio pay-per-view edition. This is WrestleShamia.
Can I lay on the table?
WrestleShamia. And as always, I am joined in by my co-host of this evening. Please welcome first, Arcane360.
What's going on, Christian? How you doing?
I am doing great, my brother. I am doing great. And ladies and gentlemen, my other co-host at this evening, DJ from FLA. Well, guys, we just finished night one of WrestleMania tonight. Kind of 50-50 a little bit, you know. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It was okay tonight, in my opinion.
That's a surprise coming from you. I figured you'd rip this thing apart. But okay.
No, but it was okay. It was this tonight. It wasn't a great show, but it wasn't a terrible show. I think it was mediocre at best. I don't know. Some of it was good. Some of it was bad. But we'll discuss that all in tonight's thrilling installment. So, before we get started, I would just like to say an interesting thing that's been brought to my attention. Apparently, it's not only WWE, but apparently every single wrestling promotion, every women viewership is going away. Every woman viewers in the wrestling shows are going away. Why is that, gentlemen? Why is that happening? Why do you think that's happening? Arcane, I'll start with you. Why do you think this is happening?
I think this is happening because, as of late, the number one promotion in the wrestling business today, WWE, they have not put women's wrestling at the forefront of their programming. Back when you had Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch in there, they were put at the forefront, and women's wrestling was making this huge evolution, as they called it. And after that pay-per-view, it started to die off. And I wish it wouldn't have, because right now, as we saw tonight, women's wrestling can be great again.
Interesting. DJ, what is your perspective in all this?
I agree. I agree with Arcane. It's just, as a whole, the whole thing has just been, you know, there hasn't been any kind of thought process like they used to do back in the day. Everything is just done on a whim at the last minute, you know, either the day before or on the same day, hours before a show starts. So there's just, how can you really give any type of thought process into anything to actually make it, you know, to actually put on a good show if you're doing everything last minute? And it's just, it doesn't work that way. And it wasn't like that back in the day. And I don't know why things changed so much. I mean, I know what a lot of it has to do with Vince, because he's the sole owner of WWE. So, and he makes all the final say and everything. And I don't think he's been making a lot of great decisions as of late or for quite some time now. And I agree with Arcane about women's wrestling that, you know, it can be just as good, if not better, than men's wrestling. And you saw an example of that just a few minutes ago. If you were there watching WrestleMania and you saw the main event for day one, you know, with Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, it was a great match back and forth, a couple of near falls, and they got it right. You know, just like a couple of matches tonight, they got right as far as, you know, who the winners were at the end. And this was one of
booking
them.
Booking wise. Speaking of that, let's start things off with the opening shows. First, Vince McMahon comes out with the whole roster saying, I don't know, he was saying that welcome to WrestleMania and all that. Then we go to live performance by BB Roxy, who gave this, the performance of the USA anthem. And then we start the show. Yeah. We start the show with a delay. Yes, it's the first time WrestleMania was delayed because of weather. That's right. Mother Nature said, fuck you, we're not starting the show. We're starting the show off 30 minutes late. So Mother Nature said, fuck you. So they said, fuck you. We're going to have people talk backstage for 30 minutes until you get the first match at WrestleMania. I'm not going to include this in the ranking system because it happens sometimes. Weather can fucking change plans, so I'm not giving them
all
that.
Well, like, especially when you're trying to do a show like WrestleMania in a stadium, you know, which is what they've been doing for several years now. And, you know, especially if they're doing it in Florida, you know, it's that time of the year. Obviously, I live here in Florida, so I would know, you know, that we're a tropical state. We get that type of weather here, you know, a lot. And so they thought they were going to have it okay when they set the dates for this WrestleMania. And, you know, tomorrow is going to be worse.
More
at least
worse.
They didn't rain it last one
worse.
Tonight. Yeah, because it is forecasted. It's in the forecast that it's supposed to, you know, rain. It may be on and off, but it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow and through the late evening. So
yep, they're fucked.
We'll see what they do. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So we kick things off with the WWE title match between Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. The beginning parts were slow. I mean, Drew McIntyre was doing what? How many front suplexes did he do against Bobby Lashley? Like 4 times. But then it kicked up a little bit towards the end, and then surprisingly, Drew McIntyre loses, Bobby Lashley retains. But it makes Drew look strong because he didn't tap out, he passed out. So it made both men look strong. I think this was the smartest decision they did. Drew does not need the WWE title no more. He's had 2 title reigns. He's good now. Bobby Lashley needs to hold this title until SummerSlam when he faces the Beast, Brock Lesnar. So I'm going to go to Arcane first. Arcane, how did you feel towards this match?
I thought the match was okay. I thought the match had good storytelling. The match had really good storytelling. It wasn't as good as their first matchup, but I thought they told a good story, and I thought the ending or the result of the match was the right decision. Kudos to WWE for making it and booking it. So I think that was a good job by them and by the wrestlers.
Yeah. What about you, DJ?
This was one of those matches where I was saying before, you know, how they got it right as far as the ending. You know, when you get 2 big guys like Lashley and McIntyre in the ring wrestling each other, as big as they are, you know, they wrestlers like that tend to wrestle stiff. And, you know, there isn't really much movement or, you know, there isn't going to be really much high flying or anything like that with these 2 big guys in there. It wasn't completely boring by any stretch of the imagination. Do I think it could have been a tad bit better? Probably, yeah. But as far as the ending goes, I like what they did. Not making McIntyre tap out. I appreciate that. You know, thank you, Vince, for, you know, making sure you get both these guys strong. So they're like your 2 top guys right now, especially on Raw, if not in the WWE itself. You know, aside from Reigns, these are one of the, you know, top guys in their promotion. So good on him.
Yeah. So now there's 2 things we need to discuss. One, I don't know if it was me, but I could have sworn I heard some people boo Drew McIntyre tonight. I don't know if it was just me. I mean, it was 50-50,
but...
It was you. No.
They cheered.
Yeah. Okay. But here's another thing. Now that Drew McIntyre, like, lost, who challenges Bobby Lashley for the title now? Who's next? Like,
well,
good question.
That's a good question. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to find out. If it was me, I would put Cesaro up there.
But Cesaro's on SmackDown.
Oh, it's true.
That's true.
That's true. That is true.
So now they have nobody to face Lashley for this title left.
Yeah, they've pushed. I mean, the only other big matches that they're having are Randy Orton and The Fiend, so it's probably going to be The Fiend.
Or probably going to be Braun Strowman next.
Yeah, because
supposedly
tomorrow's match, The Fiend and Randy Orton should end this feud. So if it ends the feud, then that would leave The Fiend open to, you know, possibly be the next challenger for Lashley in the title.
But that would mean that Lashley's going to tap out The Fiend or what? Like, how's that match going to end?
I don't know. I don't know how they would do it. I'm hoping that if this does come to fruition and these two end up meeting each other and having a feud, I do hope they're able to figure it out and do it right. And so both guys aren't looking like, you know, jobbers in the end or something like that. You know, you got to keep them, just like what they did tonight with McIntyre and Lashley in the ending of that match. They got to keep these two strong because they need to stay relevant. If they're not relevant, no one's going to care if you put them in the, if you put them together in a match. So whatever it is that they do, they need to make sure they get it right and keep them both relevant and keep them both looking strong.
I agree. All right, so the next match, this was a fucking dumpster fire, this next match. The tag team turmoil. This was a botchy, clunky, fucking shit fest. We've had the Lana Naomi first versus Carmella and Billie Kay. Nothing really special happened. Billie Kay and Carmella eliminate Naomi and Lana, so they're out. Then came the Riot Squad. And they eliminated Carmella and Billie Kay. Then came out Mandy Rhodes and Dana Brooke, which Mandy Rhodes fell on her ass, and she almost broke her ass because the idiots didn't thought of wiping the fucking ramp of the water. Idiots. Somebody could have seriously gotten hurt, but, you know, they don't give a fuck.
At least during the delay, they should have at least put some kind of type of, you know, tarp or some type of covering over the ramp and even over the ring. I mean, the padding on the outside of the ring was even wet. You could see during one of the matches,
the first match
that we watched, it was still soaked. So they didn't even try to keep it, that area dry whatsoever, and they should have.
Yeah, fucking unprofessional. So they eliminate Dana and Mandy Rhodes, which, you know, a lot of Dana Brooke had nip slips, wardrobe malfunction twice in the match. What happened was they didn't know who was eliminated, so the ref told them again that it was the Riot Squad who eliminated Mandy and Dana Brooke. And then we have Tamina and Natalya. Yeah. And then we have Tamina and Natalya. They destroy the Riot Squad, and the wrong team fucking won, Tamina and Natalya. This was fucking terrible. The wrong team fucking won. Tomorrow's match is going to be fucking awful, too. So I don't give a fuck. Arcane, why did this fucking team win?
I don't understand why they won either. I mean, if I was booking it, I probably would have had the Riot Squad win, or I would have had the
Carmella
team of... Carmella, yeah, right. So, I would have had either of those two teams win. I don't understand why these two wrestlers, women wrestlers, are challenging for the titles right now. I just, I think it's got to do with either tenure or some kind of, you know, who you know, because – you know, they are descendants of great wrestlers from WWE.
The only thing I could think of is the fact that if I remember correctly, I think there's some relation between Tamina and Nia Jax.
They're relatives. They're relatives.
Okay, so I think that's probably, if not the reason, probably one of the reasons why they did that, just to get those two, match those two up. Because, they faced it. They kind of faced each other for the first time on Friday,
which sucked.
When they stood face to face in the ring there for a couple of minutes, whatever. So maybe they wanted to get that back. So I don't know why else they would have. I agree, Derek, and I think the right move would have been either the right squad or, like you said, Carmella and Billy Kay. The right squad, in my opinion, out of all the tag teams that were in that match, it felt like me they were the ones that did all the work.
Yes, they did.
I mean, they had so many moves, so many things they were doing, and they looked really good.
It's because they're the only good wrestlers. They're the only good female wrestlers in the tag division.
Yes.
The rest are terrible.
They just look like they stuck out from in a good way from everybody else because of what they were able to do. And Liv has come a long way because, Liv, in the beginning when we first saw Liv come out, she really wasn't, I'll be honest, I mean, she still had her good looks and everything, but wrestling-wise, she really wasn't that great. And she has come a long way from that time and has learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And now she looks fantastic now, especially when they put her back with Ruby. I think that was a great idea.
Lana hasn't learned shit at all. She's still fucking awful.
Yeah, she's garbage.
I'm sorry. She's awful. Terrible. So yeah, that was horrible. But then now we have the same bullshit with the same women fighting against the championship still. Like, it's all the same women.
And may I say, I feel bad for Mandy Rose falling down. I had a feeling, I said something before it happened about somebody having a Titus O'Neil moment, and I was just—I didn't think it was going to be Mandy of all people. But yeah, I feel bad. I hope she's okay. So
I mean, my God, like, how long has Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke been in the main roster, and they still haven't won a single fucking title? Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Like, so has
the women's
Riot
championship.
They haven't won a
no
title
women's
at all.
No women. No women's tag championship, no women's title.
Like, fuck me. So has the Riot Squad. They haven't won a title either. No, it's always fucking Bayley and Sasha Banks or Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, the same fucking women over and over again.
Or Charlotte. Yeah,
exactly.
Even though she's not in this WrestleMania this year.
And then pretty soon Becky Lynch's fucking man ass is going to come back and she's going to steal the glory again. She's going to steal the spotlight again.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We got to see what happens tomorrow if she shows up tomorrow. The one thing that this day one lacked, and I think they may have, and I'm hoping that they did it on purpose, is, and they're saving it for day two tomorrow, is that, it really lacked any kind of surprise except for the fact that we had, two title changes tonight? We had the tag titles change hands, the Raw titles change hands, and the women's SmackDown titles change hands. Other than that, we really didn't get any other type of surprises. Yeah, we had Bebe Rexha in the beginning singing, what you were saying? We had her there, but I think they're just. I'm hoping they're saving the meat of this WrestleMania for tomorrow, and we're going to see a lot more stuff go on tomorrow.
Yeah.
We know there's going to be two. There's going to be at least two live performances tomorrow, with the entrances
for
some of the wrestlers.
Rhea Ripley
and
Big E.
Thank you for interrupting me, Chris.
Yeah, Rhea Ripley and Big E, which I don't like Rhea Ripley's chances, to be honest, of winning the championship. I don't like her chances at all. Because normally when a wrestler gets big entrances, they always lose. They always
lose.
Well,
we'll just have to wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. So anyway. Up next we had probably, in my opinion, the match of the night. I thought it was great. Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. Two very gifted technical wrestlers at their best, facing each other. Showed great in-ring prowess, you know. Great fucking in-work. It was crisp. Fucking great twisting splash from Seth Rollins. And, of course, the spot of the night, Cesaro giving a UFO spinning, you know, spin attack. Landing fucking Seth Rollins, and then he gave him the King of Swing 23 times, and then he did the neutralizer, and then he beat Seth Rollins in the middle of the ring clean. This was the greatest moment in Cesaro's life, and I thought this was a great match. Arcane, what are your thoughts about this great match?
Yeah, I think that Mr. Seth Rollins, you know, he gave Cesaro a good match and actually made him look very well. This match did kind of start out kind of slow, but it did pick up, and I knew it was going to pick up whenever Cesaro started getting some offense in, and I thought this was a good fan service to Cesaro. And I'm happy for it. I'm glad that he got the win over Seth Rollins on this match. So I'm good. I like it.
What about you, DJ?
Yeah, I agree with Arcane. It did start out kind of slow, and then as the match progressed, it started to pick up, especially like Arcane just alluded, with Cesaro starting to, you know, get some moves in and started picking up the pace, and He made a match that could have been absolutely boring. He made it really, really great. And having him win at the end, this was another one of those matches I was saying before about how, you know, the WWE / Vince made the right decision.
Now,
Am I done?
I was talking to my mom. I'm sorry. You continue, DJ.
I don't even know what I was saying. What was I saying?
You're saying it's good.
But they made the right decision. This was one of those matches, like I said, you know, that, you know, Vince / WWE made the right decision in letting Cesaro win this match. It's a huge win over someone like Seth Rollins with all his accolades and everything and being a former World Heavyweight Champion and all that. So That should, if anything, catapult him into some type of title contention at some point.
Yeah.
So I hope it does. We'll see what happens. I don't know if anything's going to happen on Monday. They're on SmackDown. Right? Yeah,
Friday.
I don't know if anything's going to happen on Friday on SmackDown. But we'll have to wait and see what this does for Cesaro.
Now, the real question is, what's this going to do with Seth Rollins now? He lost to Cesaro. What's going to happen to him now? Like,
That's another good question, because with Seth Rollins losing, you know, I mean, hats off to him for letting it happen, but I mean, at the same time, it also doesn't make him look good. But, you know, sometimes you have to take an L for somebody to kind of help someone else out that hasn't been really getting the help that he needs or has been needing for a very long time.
Yeah,
he's been in WWE for a long time, man, and he really hasn't gotten anything for a long time, so I think it's time for Cesaro to get some kind of leeway into something. So
it makes it 2 years in a row now that Seth Rollins lost WrestleMania. Because he lost against Kevin Owens, and now he lost to Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess...
I'm interested to see if this is going to be the end of their feud, or if they're going to continue it in some way or fashion. I don't know how they would. And if they're not going to continue it, like you said, what are they going to do with Seth Rollins? What's his next move going to be? Who he's going to feud with? It's a very interesting question. We just have to wait and see what happens.
I would think he would feud with Daniel Bryan. I mean, they teased it like a couple of times, so I guess that could be his next potential feud.
Yeah, we just got to see how this triple threat match ends up tomorrow. I think we all have an idea, but we really won't know for sure until we see the match tomorrow night. So,
yeah.
So up next, I think it was I lost track which one is which, so I'm not gonna go in order. I think the next one was the steel cage match between Shane McMahon and Braun Strowman. I could be wrong because I wasn't keeping track at this point. So Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon, it was a boring match. Let's be honest. The only thing that was good about this match was the ending.
It was actually AJ Styles and New Day.
Okay, well, let's start with that. There you go. Thank you, Arcane. So, okay, New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos. This match was shit. The only thing that was good was Omos towards the end. Basically, it was a handicap match where two babyfaces were beating up the fucking heel, which was AJ Styles. And they were beating the shit out of him in a handicap match shit. Try to make that look make sense. Anyway, almost gets tagged in. The people go crazy. They actually cheer for the heel against the New Day. Almost
they
didn't
do
anything. Yeah?
They do.
Yeah, they did. So almost practically did nothing. All he did was, like, monster spots, like throw Kofi into the ring post and then did a back move to Xavier. It was all good. It just makes it almost look strong, so that's good. Then it was the match. Almost did a Kali bomb on, I don't know, either Xavier or Kofi. And then he pins either Xavier or Kofi, and they win the tag titles. It was good that they made Almost look strong, but the match itself was utter dog shit. They booked New Day like they were the fucking heels, and AJ and Omos was the fucking babyface. So that right there is fucking terrible, backwards booking. And, yeah, this match was terrible. Arcane, your thoughts?
I think that WWE just doesn't know how to really book tag team matches anymore. I think the tag team division has pretty much eroded to almost nothing, and it's just really a prop to get people over, you know, in this case, it was to get Omos or Omos over. And again, I'm really not liking, because you know, you have a better sense of booking tag teams in another company, AEW. They know how to book tag teams. They have phenomenal tag teams over there. I'm not taking anything away from AJ Styles or the New Day or even Omos. I'm taking the stuff away from WWE on diminishing their tag division and their sense of booking for tag matches.
What about you, DJ? What have you thought about this?
Well, I kind of knew that out of AJ Styles and Osmos, is that how you say his name?
Almost.
I knew that AJ was going to take the brunt of most of the punishment from the New Day. And I knew that once Almost got in the ring, he pretty much dominated. I knew they weren't going to do much damage to him. It almost, in a way, seemed like a squash match, which is really sad to say because you're talking about against the tag team champions, and you want to book somewhat of a squash match and have the tag team champions be the ones getting squashed. Because that wasn't a very long match. It wasn't a very long match. And the fact that all it took was for what's his name again? Almost.
Yeah.
Whatever. For him to slam down, what was it, Xavier? He did that to.
I guess
yeah.
so.
And did a one foot pin on him. I mean,
right.
He didn't even get down there and hook the legs in, and you just put one foot down on his chest and pin them that way. And that's just, I mean, you're talking about your tag team champions. I mean, your tag team champions. And to me, you know, I the way that they let him pin those guys is kind of a slap in the face to your tag team. So,
do
I mean,
you guys
whatever.
Remember? Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't. I thought you were done.
Go ahead.
Do you guys remember when they had the, I'm trying to remember, it was the match between the, it was like the blow-off match between the Street Profits and Heavy Machinery, and
yeah.
they had the ninjas come in, and they had the seven-foot
yeah.
ninja, the black, seven-foot black ninja. This was
yeah,
the
was
seven
him,
foot
yeah.
black ninja. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was bad. I mean, good for almost looking like a beast, but this match was terrible. I'm sorry. Such was, bleh. Anyway, we go to the next bleh match, which was Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon. Again, same thing like the tag match. The match was boring and terrible until the end where, you know, crazy spot happened where Shane was about to win, but then Strowman rips the cage and then throws Shane over onto the ring on top of the steel cage, and then Strowman does the power slam. He could have just climbed out of the ring, but instead he was a stupid idiot and he climbed inside the ring and then did a power slam unnecessarily and win the match again.
Listen, you knew when this match was booked and Shane was in this match, there was going to be a spot in this match, a big spot, because every time Shane
yeah.
McMahon is in a match, especially at WrestleMania, there's always been a big spot. And that one from basically the top of the cage was the spot. So, I mean, and that was really the highlight of that match, to be honest with you. It was just that spot itself. I'll be honest with you, and I think you guys know this. I know Arcane knows this. I said it before. I really wasn't looking forward to this match. I don't know why Shane always has to be involved in a WrestleMania match. You know, why can't – there's so many other wrestlers that aren't even in WrestleMania, you know, that could have filled in. And they could have done something with them, you know, made another feud. Or something with
yeah,
the
maybe
wrestlers.
Maybe Jinder Mahal. Maybe Jinder Mahal.
Give
he
them
was on
some,
the fucking ramp.
Whatever, you know. You know, give some of these wrestlers that don't really see a lot of airtime, give them some airtime. You know, put them out there. I mean, how do you expect them to get relevant or to become relevant if you're not giving them any kind of TV time or pay-per-view time or anything like that, you know? Next thing you know, they're leaving you guys because, you know, you're not using them and you're wasting their time and they could be doing so much and yet they're sitting in the back not doing anything. So I've gotten to the point where I dislike when Shane has to put himself in a match at WrestleMania when it could be somebody else. And it's just a waste for me. So I really wasn't invested in this match from the go. Even when they started doing all those stupid segments, their little angles that they were doing to try to build for this match on Raw, ridiculous. They're supposed to be an anti-bully company, and yet they're mocking the whole bullying thing. So I really wasn't happy with that. I wasn't happy with this whole thing at all. So.
Am I supposed to believe that a huge fucking giant like Braun Strowman gets fucking bullied? Are you kidding? Am I supposed to fucking believe that? This big fucking mountain of a man gets fucking bullied. Get the fuck out of here. Arcane, what do you think?
It's like you being at your job and your boss is your boss is making fun of you at your job. You know what I mean? Why would you want to be at that job if you have a boss that's like that? You know what I mean? It's stupid. Go ahead, Arcane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with you guys. The build up to this match was dumb. They were just trying to get heat off of on Shane for this match. They're trying to, you know, make Braun Strowman into a babyface, you know, and remain
right.
a babyface. And I think that, you know, it's just again, it wasn't this wasn't very, very well thought out. It's just kind of slapped together, and I agree with you. You know, but, you know, if they're not putting Braun in a title picture, the Braun's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because he's good enough to be relevant in this federation. However, is he good enough to hold a title? You know?
No.
And so if he's not good enough to hold a title, then, but he's good enough to be relevant, where do you put him? Where does that put him? Right? Where do you want him to be? And so I'm wondering if Shane was the only kind of match. I think that somebody like, you know, because he's he's on Raw, right?
Yeah, he's on Raw.
Yeah. Where's he on SmackDown? Yeah.
No, Ron's on Raw.
Okay. Well, then he could go up against Randy Orton whenever he is done with The Fiend, right? I think Randy Orton would probably be a good matchup for him. But again, you know, I'm just trying to figure out who he kind of goes up against. I'm tired of actually, you know, I would like to see him in different matches other than Shane or, you know, have a gimmicky match with somebody.
He should probably go against Sheamus, the U.S. title.
Well, it's looking like they're going to continue this feud with him and Elias, and we've already seen this feud, and I don't like that. It's like they're going to have him and his bodyguard, or his roadie. Manager, I don't know whatever he is. He's going to be, you know, used against Braun Strowman, and I just don't see this going well for Elias and the other guy. I think you can book Braun and Randy pretty decently, but it's not believable when you got Elias and the other guy going up against Braun. I mean, neither one of those guys seem like they're good enough to beat Braun. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's awful. I mean, you could have Sheamus versus Braun or Drew McIntyre versus Braun. You know?
You know, you talked about Elias, and I was sitting here thinking about it. He's another one of those guys that when Elias first debuted on the main roster, you know, I felt like they could have done so much with him. And he's one of those guys where they start something and then they stop. And then like they did with Braun, you know, it looks like he's going to start to do something, and then all of a sudden it's not happening anymore. And it's like I don't understand. God damn it.
I think the only reason they saw something in him because it was before he wrestled. When they saw him wrestle, they said, no, fuck it. He's terrible. Let's not book him no more.
I don't know. Not sure.
And I don't know. So
I don't think he's terrible, but...
I think he's green a little. He's a little green. Anyway, we go to the semi-main event, which was Miz and Morrison versus Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. Okay, well, all right. So, I'm not going to lie. Bad Bunny was okay. He impressed me a little bit. He did good spots. He wrestled. He was okay. He impressed me. That Canadian Destroyer spot that he did with John Morrison was excellent. That was beautiful. The match itself, meh. It was like a Raw match to me. This didn't feel like a WrestleMania match to me. The majority of the match was Bad Bunny getting his ass kicked by Miz and Morrison. But then Bad Bunny made a comeback a little bit. And then Damian Priest finally came in. He was okay. Damian Priest did great. He was good. And then, predictably, Miz and Morrison lost to Bad Bunny. Now, this makes Miz look fucking horrible. Let's think about this for a minute, right? This man...
The Miz has been looking horrible for a while now. This just further confirms it after tonight.
I don't know what's going on here. I don't know who he pissed off in the back, but they have completely buried this man. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Vince hates this guy personally, but I'm starting to think he does because this is a complete utter joke. This guy, this is a burial at this point. What are your guys' thoughts on this? This is crazy. I mean, does Vince hate this guy? Does Vince hate Miz?
No, I think that Miz is the ultimate team player. I think he is willing to put over anybody. I think he is the consummate professional in WWE. And whenever you're the consummate professional in WWE, that means you get buried because you're not whining and crying like Sasha Banks to get a title. Sorry about that, DJ, but it's true.
Ooh, that's fine.
Okay, so what about you, DJ? What do you think about Miz and, you know?
No, I said it before. I mean, I kind of agree with what Arcane said, you know, that he's gotten to be one of those guys, you know, like Daniel Bryan or whatever, who have been with the company for so long. And, you know, he's gotten to that point in his career where it's like, okay, I've done so much already with being in this company. I've been champion before here and there. And, you know, now it's time for me to start, you know, helping others, the other up-and-coming, you know, WWE superstars that are, you know, coming to the main roster. And stuff, and that's fine. That's fine, but it's just what they're having these stupid angles and stuff, and that stupid song that he and Morrison came up with is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed because I know the Miz is better than that. But like Arcane said, you know, he's a team player. He's a consummate team player, and so willing to do whatever it takes to get other people over and help other people and make them look good as well. Because I'm sure in the past when he came out, he first started, he had those same people doing the same for him. So I guess he's just paying it forward and doing what was done for him in the past. But that doesn't mean that it makes it good for him anyway. But, I mean, it is what it is. So I don't know. Ever since they put him back together with I thought it was going to be good, you know, the old tag team, but it hasn't been all that great. It really hasn't.
Okay, so what are you guys' thoughts about the match itself and Bad Bunny's performance? Let's go to DJ first with that.
I would agree with that move that he did on the outside of the ring, Bad Bunny, that is. The Canadian Destroyer, I guess is what you all call it. Wow, that was impressive. I think even Damian Priest was shocked when the camera panned on him and he had that look of shock on his face. He was even shocked, as shocked as the Miz was, who was inside the ring. So that was crazy. That goes to show you that Bad Bunny, he was taking this serious. You know, he said that he's been watching wrestling since he was a kid and he's been a fan of wrestling for a very long time. And so, you know, when he went into training and stuff, you can tell just by some of the things that he did, especially that Canadian Destroyer on the outside of the ring, he took his training serious. And, you know, I like that. I can respect that. Because some people that come into the business that have no business being in the business, if you will, just suck outright. But this guy took it serious, and he took his training serious, and he looked really good. So I'm proud of the fact that he took what he was going to be doing in the ring serious, and that's what you need to do. So good on them. But as far as this match as a whole, I don't know, man. I think this was just kind of a – they wanted to pan this. It's kind of like with who we're going to see tomorrow on the show, tomorrow, day two. Logan Paul.
Yeah.
I think with the Bad Bunny deal, they want to focus on the younger audience. You know, they've been saying that for a long time, but that's what their focus is on. It's trying to focus on the younger audience to get them to watch the show. So in order for them to do that, they need to get somebody in the show that's a huge trend, you know, in the world, whether it's somebody on YouTube, a trending person on YouTube, or an entertainer like Bad Bunny. And that's all it is. It's just they're trying to get the views. They're trying to get people to tune in. And I get that. But again, just because they're doing it for that reason, it doesn't make it good. But Bad Bunny, I don't know. He kind of grew on me a little bit. But just this match itself was just to get people to watch. That's what it was for. So the younger audience.
All right, RK. What's your thoughts about this match and Bad Bunny's performance?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised at what he did, and I too heard the same news that DJ had, where he did take this seriously and was training hard, and which is good. I think that he's got a lot of respect for those guys, and a lot of the WWE superstars respect him for having, you know, giving them the respect that they deserve, and not, you know, having a fake attitude about it. And so if, you know, this made me like him a little bit more. The problem with him is that he is
boring.
He's no. Well, okay. Culturally not. He's culturally not in my realm of vision. So let's say if I was of a different culture, you know, maybe the Hispanic culture, and I listen to him and I, you know, think it's cool. You know, I may like him a whole lot more. It's just this is the first time I kind of really saw him, and you know, that kind of put a really damper on my outlook to him. I really thought, you know, this was going to be more of a hey, they're, you know, they're high profile celebrities and let's use them to get views. But he took that job and made more with it. So that's what I respect him about. And I applaud his efforts tonight. And do I want to say I think that this match was better than the tag team turmoil match from the women. And in fact, that tag team turmoil match from the women was the weakest match of the whole card. So I think that is to be accoladed and applauded. So,
yep.
Agreed. So now we go to the main event. We go to Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Fight feel. The tension is high. Bianca Belair crying, and then the fight happens. It was a great match, back and forth. The ending, Bianca Belair hair whips Sasha Banks in the abdomen, leaving a nasty mark. And then Bianca Belair hits the burning hammer. 1, 2, 3, your new SmackDown Women's Champion, Bianca Belair. Now, here's the thing that I think is going to happen. Sasha Banks is going to complain. She's going to say she used her hair to win the match. So that's how they're going to get the rematch at the next pay-per-view. So she's going to say, you only beat me because of your hair. You hit me in the fucking ribs, and that's the only reason why you beat me. And that's going to be the reason why they're going to have a rematch of Money in the Bank. So what are your guys' thoughts about that, and what are your guys' thoughts about the match?
I'll go first. I wouldn't be surprised if Sasha does that and complains about the the use of the hair and whatnot, and she does get a rematch, I would not be surprised in the least if they go ahead and they give her that rematch on SmackDown. They'll at least know to do stuff like that, you know, and you know, they may direct Adam Pearce to go ahead and make the match and be one of the matches for SmackDown. Now, they could put that match, get everybody excited about it, and then there might be another, you know, screwy finish to it where it does create them having a third match. They've done that before, too, with people. So it would not be out of the realm for WWE if they were to do something like that. You know, book the match for SmackDown, get everybody excited, get everybody come to watch it, you know, and then all of a sudden there's a screwy finish and it turns out that they're going to have a third match. They'll do a little build-up for a third match, and that third match would probably happen at the next pay-per-view like you just alluded to, Chris. But as far as this match goes, this match was actually pretty good. I think they did a fantastic job, and they pulled it off, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, for being the main event for day one. I'm proud of these two girls. I said it before, as much as I love Sasha Banks, you guys know how much I love Sasha Banks, I just had a feeling in my heart of hearts that Belair was going to pull this one off. I just didn't see any reason why they wouldn't let her win the title. Again, this was another one of those matches they got right as far as the ending and who won. And I'm a huge Sasha fan. There's no question about it. And this match was fantastic. That hair shot from Belair to Sasha in her abdomen area, wow. She hit her so hard you could hear it. I mean, it was, yeah, and it did leave a mark on her side. They showed it after the match when she was out on the outside of the ring, and you could see the marking that it left on her. So, wow, that was crazy. But kudos to these ladies, man. They showed us again why there's no reason why the women can't main event a big pay-per-view like WrestleMania. So, and they did it without Charlotte. They did it without Becky. You know what I'm saying? They did it without Asuka. All the big names that they would usually put in there, Ronda Rousey, they did it themselves. So I'm proud of those two. Hats off to them. Great match.
All right. What about you, Arcane?
So, yeah, I think that Sasha actually surprised me in this match. I knew Bianca. I've watched her since NXT. I knew she could. She's very, like, she's a really good wrestler, right? And I think that she's the next big star, and hopefully she proves it with this title run. I think that she needs to get off of this emotional, I guess emotional trip she was on from being at the WrestleMania and all this. And she needs to get more in her sassy side. I hope that she brings that out more in her title reign.
I just wanted to say something because you mentioned about her getting over her emotional state and stuff. I just think it's because this is her first time, you know, she's main eventing WrestleMania. She's never, you know what I'm saying? So, I can understand all the emotions. So I think after this, after getting through this, I think you'll see her be a little bit different in that aspect that she's gotten this first time out of the way. So I just wanted to put that in there.
Right. Right. No, that's my hope as well. I hope that you're right. And that, you know, this, she goes back to her NXT roots because that's what made me become a fan of hers. She actually, when she fought Shayna Baszler in NXT, that was one of her best matches. She did awesome in that match in NXT TakeOver against Shayna. And I really, I've been following her for a long time. I'm glad she got her due, and I'm glad she got the championship. I've been rooting for her the whole way, and, she was my pick to win the Royal Rumble, and she is my pick to win the title today. I'm very happy for it. I can't be more happier than what I am right now with her. And, yeah, that's, I mean, that match was good. Match was really, really, really good. I think that, you know, if she, I think she would even do well in like a hardcore Hell in a Cell match. So in October, I can't wait till she's going to be put into that. I mean, that's what I hope for, right? Is to have her have a hard hitting match with some chairs and some, kendo sticks. And, you know, we need to see that of her, that side of her. So that's what I want to see. I know that she can do it because, like you guys were talking about, she gave Sasha this wicked mark on her abdomen from that hair shot at the end of the match. And she did that in NXT. That's how she used to whip people to death with that thing. So, again, I couldn't be more happy of this match. This was my favorite match of the whole entire evening. Good match booking, good match outcome. And I think overall, as we can talk about overall for if we want to, I can save my overall kind of rating of what's going on.
One overall, yeah.
So,
we'll go ahead.
I'll take it over to let you talk, Christian, about the overall WrestleMania and how it went tonight. But I like this match.
All right. So overall, if we have we're scoring the pay per view, we're at the point of the overall for night one. And like I said, it's a half and half, you know, rating because in one half there was halves that were good, but in the other half there were halves that were bad, like really bad. So if I'm going to be fair and generous, I'm going to give this show 5 out of 10. That's as generous as I'm going to be. 5 out of 10.
Well, if I had if I was to rank this day one WrestleMania and the score that I would give it, the reason why I would give it this score is because, like I said before, there were a few matches. I think, if my mind serves, I think there was 3 out of all the matches tonight that they actually got right and made the right decision on, including the main event. And the fact that the main event was so good, it was so good, and that's the reason why I'm actually going to give it. I'm going to go one up on you, Chris. I'm actually going to give this a 6 out of 10 for the fact that the women did fantastic tonight in that main event. And like I said, they got some matches right as far as people that are winning. It wasn't a complete fail by any stretch of the imagination. Obviously, it could have been, there could be things that could have been better, but yeah, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 5 for day one.
Yeah.
So tonight, I actually enjoyed it probably better than either of you two are rating it, because I'm going to give this a 6.5. All because I liked a couple of things. I liked, you know, the spot from Bad Bunny with the Canadian Destroyer, what was surprising, and also the Shane spot off the top of the cage. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'm going to give him a 0.5 for that, those kind of high spots that I've seen in the matches, plus the other matches in their full entirety. I'm going to give it a 6.5 tonight. And if this match would have had maybe some sort of, like, I'm going to call it I'm just a hardcore junkie, right? I like hardcore matches. So the cage match was pretty good in terms of hardcoreness. But that was really it. We didn't really see anything else outside of that. And this to me felt more of a it felt more of a, you know, matchup card, where you're pitting two wrestling matchups together, and not kind of a blow off match to where you're having some hardcore elements into it. We may see that with The Fiend and Randy Orton. However, it's only going to be just a wrestling match. So we'll see if it actually turns out to be just a wrestling match tomorrow. But that's, anyway, I digress. My final score is a 6.5 out of 10. Enjoyed the show a little bit more than you two, I guess. But that's my score.
Yeah, that's all
right.
If I may say, Christian, when you Arcane, when you talked about the spot in the Strowman and Shane match where Strowman threw Shane off the top cage, okay, it was good. It was good, but the fact that it was predictable, that's why I had a problem with it. Because, like I said before when we talked about this match, whenever Shane puts himself in a match, there always is that one spot, that one just crazy spot that he puts in there all the time. So it's because he does it all the time, it's predictable now. And it wasn't necessary for him to be in the pay-per-view to begin with. He doesn't need to always put himself in a pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? He's not the one that's putting asses in seats. I hate to tell him that. You know, and just because it was a cage match, you know, it doesn't mean. I mean, it might be for some people, but I think for the majority, I don't think he. You know, Shane is the one putting asses in seats. So he doesn't. It doesn't have to be him all the time. But that was my only problem with that spot. Although it was a great spot, it's just it was predictable, and that was my issue with it. So
I'm one of the few Shane fans out there. So I'm a fan of Braun and Shane both. So this to me was just kind of fun, just fun to watch. Right? I wasn't trying to be very critical of it. So it was just to me, it was just kind of a fun thing to look at and kind of enjoy. So that's where I kind of went with that. That's where I'm going.
And I mean, that's what fans would say. They would, like you. You just said you're a fan of both, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, with my opinion, he just didn't need to be there. He doesn't need to always put himself in there. And that, again, it was predictable. That was the only problem with it. So
yep.
If it was something I see for the first time, I'd have been like, holy moly, you know, I would have had a different reaction to it. But because it's
something that
happens repetitively with him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I understand that opinion, yep.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from on that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up for night one's coverage for WrestleMania. Hope join us tomorrow night where we do a coverage of night two. And I have a feeling night two isn't going to be all that good. I don't know why, but I have a sinking feeling that the main event and probably the Big E jungle drum match is probably going to be the only good matches on tomorrow's show. I just don't know why. I feel bullshit coming for the Rhea Ripley match. I don't know why. But until then, this is Arcane360. Close yourself out.
Thank you, Christian, for having us on. And I enjoyed being on. Thank you all for listening in. And I'll see you all next time, tomorrow.
All right. The Arcane360. DJ from Alpha Lake, close yourself out.
Yeah, man, thank you once again. I think this is, what, our second time being on your podcast. So thank you once again for inviting us. And we will be back here
tomorrow.
Right, and we will be back here tomorrow for day two of WrestleMania. And it's going to be interesting because I live here in Florida, not too far from Tampa, and the weather is not favorable for this second part of the pay-per-view. But we'll see. We'll see if they can dodge a bullet tomorrow and pull this one off. It's going to be a tough one, but we'll see. I can't wait.
All right. This has been, and I've been Christian from Philly. This has been WrestleShamia Night 1 Review. Let's close this out. Let's hang up the phones now. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Mm-hmm.